Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
7/12, Friday, June 20th, first day of summer, 2025, almost halfway over. It's going to be hot and humid today, but the tropics are quiet, so we'll take it about what you would expect for June 20th. But let's rewind back to January 1st, 2025. The year started with a horrific terrorist attack on Bourbon Street. A lot of people were up in arms saying this had to be done, that had to be done, now's the time, this is that. But really, what's changed ever since? I don't think I've been to Bourbon Street maybe one time since then. Aaron Holmes, however, the executive director of the Vieuxcree Property Owners, Residents and Associates, VCPORA, lives there. So how are you doing, Aaron?
I'm doing well. How are you doing, Tommy?
I am okay. Tell me what's changed since January 1st.
Well, honestly, very, very little has changed. Of course, we still have a heavy barricade presence. What was put up after the attack in preparation for the Super Bowl, we have a lot of those barricades that are still in place, but no permanent changes have been made.
So when it comes to what was happening on New Year's Eve and what led to the terrorist attack and what it looks like today, you would tell me what?
I would tell you, you would just see a lot of more heavy equipment out there so that they can facilitate the pedestrian mall, but no permanent infrastructure has been put in place.
So things, what about like the daily deployment of these things? Are they there all the time? Take me to different streets in a quarter? Because I haven't been, and I'm just trying to figure out what I'd noticed that looks different and what would be the same.
Well, largely there are these kind of heavier wall type barricades that are kind of wheeled into place to put up the pedestrian barricades, so to speak. Mm-hmm. So the pedestrian mall is still in operation from 8 p.m. to 4 a.m. every day. And, you know, NOPD and I believe maybe one other department is kind of in charge of wheeling these large barricades into place. We still have the archers and the other type of barricades, but now you have these larger ones that are largely, they look like small walls. Yeah. In fact, if you go down there, you'll see a lot of people just kind of hanging out on them because they make for a good little perch. And those get kind of wheeled and positioned into place to block the street for the pedestrian mall. But the subsequent discussions have talked about, you know, larger barricade systems and things that can be automatically moved into place. And so these are still done on a manual basis. And they are positioned or wheeled into their location to block the Bourbon Street from cars entering. But the cross streets remain open and Bourbon Street is still operational outside of those pedestrian hours.
So is NOPD putting these barricades out? Is the Department of Homeland Security putting them out? Do you know who's responsible for this, or is it the same as it was before January 1st?
They're basically going with the responsibilities fall on NOPD. Mm-hmm. There may be some assistance from maybe a grounds patrol unit, but I'm not sure. I think right now it is falling solely on the shoulders of NOPD.
So what's changed as far as, I'm trying to keep it straight now, archer barriers, I think, are the things that they roll out and put out, and a company came in from Georgia and refurbished or repainted. First, we heard that it was a long time to put them out. Then we heard that, well, it really wasn't if you get the right handle to put them out. Do you know if any progress has been made on that or not?
No, I don't think that they have not. They have extended a lease on a lot of this equipment. Mm-hmm. It was brought in temporarily, and I do know that NOPD was able to extend that rental agreement and access more of them. But these were kind of seen as a temporary solution rather than a permanent kind of closure system that can be put in place and operated with less manpower.
So we'll get back to terrorism in a little bit. Terrorism aside, crime in the quarter, safety in the quarter, your feeling is?
My feeling is that we are seeing a general level of safety. Crime is down. I think New Orleans has seen a steady decrease of crime over the past year and a half to 2 years. And so I don't think that there's a general feeling of perceived unsafety there. We do have, you know, the French Quarter is known for kind of crimes of opportunity. We have a lot of people that come in and they're having a good time and they might not be paying attention to their surroundings. So you have pickpocketing and situations and car vandalisms and, you know, car theft, but nothing that doesn't happen in other areas of the city. You know, this, the French Quarter is just important to be aware of your surroundings.
So let's get to Teneo and their proposal and what it called for and what the council is saying, or whomever, mayor's office, whomever is saying about it, and your organization is saying about it.
Sure. So the Teneo report, which was released a couple of months ago, it was released to the administration, and of course the media was able to get it and distribute it, and it largely left out, you know, implementation strategies, costs, you know, the logistics of actually doing it. It just made a large recommendation that for ultimate safety of Bourbon Street, they recommended a full closure, essentially from Canal to Dumaine, and then including the cross streets. And so they were considering a 100% closure of, you know, those first eight blocks of Bourbon Street. But that was what was in the report. And they said that is for ultimate safety. And they acknowledged that concessions would need to be made for access to driveways, especially on those cross streets, and for delivery vehicles. So they suggested having a delivery window, I would say, in the morning, early afternoon, to accommodate necessary deliveries, but still the full closure.
And in your opinion, would that work or not?
No, actually, and I attended the community development meeting yesterday, and I'm not alone. I think that all the stakeholders have kind of come together and said, you know, the full closure is not going, it's not going to fix the major issue. A full closure is not going to allow the neighborhood to continue to function. In fact, council member JP Morrell said, you know, you're essentially creating the Great Wall of China that is bisecting the French Quarter in two parts. And, you know, vehicular accessibility that is necessary is going to just basically it's going to create a level of congestion and inability to navigate the streets so that residents, businesses, workers won't be able to get to where they need to go.
So I guess what I'm wondering is, we paid Teneo, I don't know how much to do the report. What they suggested didn't really tell you the how or the whatever, the rest of the details. They just said, well, if you want to make it all absolutely safe, close it down completely. I could have pretty well told you that, huh?
Yeah, that's a pretty good summation. You know, it's a great idea, but that's just one portion of getting something done. And, you know, cost, resources, like you said, the logistics, the implementation strategies, that's going to take a lot more consideration. And there was a lot of discussion yesterday at the meeting about a traffic analysis. And what struck me was everybody was agreeing that you're going to have to do this kind of traffic analysis plan to implement a strategy such as this. But I could not hear from anyone who thought that the strategy was the best way forward. You know, if anything, it was, okay, we can extend the hours of the pedestrian mall, but we need to be careful with the cross streets. You know, NOPD already has a current special events plan where they mobilize to kind of extend the barriers. They will close the crossing streets during special events like Mardi Gras, New Year's Eve, and things like that. But the understanding is that, you know, for 50 to 70 days of special events, you have the rest of the year that the street can function largely as it is. And so it's almost, people were saying, you know, we need to make this safer. We do want to prevent an attack like this in the future. So no to the status quo, but frankly, maybe we need to work on making our existing pedestrian malls better functioning. So, I didn't hear a lot of individuals, regardless of their walks of life or what level of engagement they are, that were saying that this full closure is a good idea.
Right, let me take a break. We'll come back. Somebody texted in and said that the Teneo plan would protect thousands and inconvenience hundreds.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I don't know if that's true or not. We'll talk about it more when we return. Aaron Holmes, our guest, executive director of the New Orleans View Coray Property Owners, residents and associates, VCPORA. If you have any questions or comments, text them in to 504-260-1870. Traffic now, WWL. 728, Tommy Tucker, WWL. A couple of minutes left with Aaron Holmes, executive director of the View Coray Property Owners, residents and associates, or as it's otherwise known, VCPORA. Aaron, somebody texted in so we get all of, spend all this money, get the recommendations, and then decide, well, this would be too convenient for a couple of hundred people when it would protect thousands. But I would add the French Quarter is a neighborhood as well as a very commercial area of the city and a cash register in a lot of different ways. So how do you balance all of that to what this person said?
Well, I'd like to counter the comment to say that the French Quarter is home to thousands and it is a place where tens of thousands of people work or do business. Mm-hmm. So it's not inconveniencing hundreds. It's a little bit larger scale than what they suggest. Of course, there needs to be a balance and we want to ensure public safety, but Bourbon Street isn't the only street in the French Quarter. And these issues of vehicular access, vehicular management around the French Quarter persist. So my organization is more in favor of taking a holistic look at the entirety of the French Quarter to see how we can actually reduce vehicular access. Of course, some cars need to be there. Like you said, it is a neighborhood. People need access to their homes. Businesses need deliveries and employees need to get to their jobs. So, I mean, it's a delicate ecosystem in and of itself, but you can't bubble wrap the entire French Quarter. And if we're only going to hyper-focus on Bourbon Street, there are plenty of other areas in and around the French Quarter where people naturally gather. So if somebody wanted to do what the terrorist attack did, but Bourbon Street wasn't open, there is another place for them to attack groups of people. And we just have to fundamentally understand that the balance between overall security for major events and neighborhood viability and functionality has to be found in, I would say, a more holistic approach.
So you're saying it would be inconvenience to thousands of people with only the illusion of security, perhaps? Would that be accurate?
Not necessarily the illusion. Yes, you would have Bourbon Street on lockdown. But what are we doing if we're spending all of the resources and this time and this momentum to hyper-focus on Bourbon Street? What are we doing with the issues that pervade the rest of the quarter? Yes, there's way too many cars. Of course, there's parking wars. Everybody's trying to get as close to wherever they're needing to go. But why are so many vehicles allowed in the French Quarter? If you don't have business there, if you don't work there, if you're not dropping something off, if you're not maintaining a building and doing contract work, why do vehicles need to be there? And right now it's a free-for-all. People can come and, you know, idle looking for a parking spot, kind of cruise around looking for a parking spot. You know, the idea that the French Quarter needs to be open to all vehicles all the time, I think, needs to be challenged. But you still have to have some level of access for the people that need to be there.
Thank you. Appreciate your time, Aaron. We'll talk to you again. We'll take a break, come back, help you manage your money with Mark Rosa, President and CEO of Jefferson Financial Federal Credit Union. Right now, we pause for WWL First News. 744, 16 till 7, Friday morning. It means time to help you manage your money with Mark Rosa, President and CEO of Jefferson Financial Federal Credit Union. We bookend the weekends and the week with Mark. On Fridays, it's Managing Your Money. On Mondays, it's Monday Morning Markets with Mark, where we took a week at the head, a week ahead on Wall Street. Welcome in, Mark Rosa. How you doing? President and CEO of Jefferson Financial Federal Credit Union.
Good morning, Tommy. How are you doing this morning? Happy Friday.
Thank you, sir. I am great. So I would direct people, if you can safely go to jeffersonfinancial.org. Don't ever do this while you're driving, but if you can safely do it, on your computer when you're in a place, again, safely, not driving. If you click on the middle of the page, the home page, you'll see Manage Your Money, Plan for Your Future with our financial calculators. That'll bring you to a bunch of tabs, about 100 calculators in all, almost. Mark's going to take us through a couple of them right now.
Well, and we introduced these last week, Tommy. It came on the back of some information on the first quarter of 2025 financial information that pointed to Americans that are saving a record amount in their 401ks. And also in response to that, since these plans are being very well participated, it seems that employers have inched up their contributions as well. Remind everybody that's listening, that's free money from your employer going into your 401ks to match a portion of what you put in. So the more you do, the more they do. And those amounts have reached record proportions. And it's good news. People are saving for their retirement, and they're looking forward to a little financial independence some years from now. The calculators I'll mention briefly, we'll circle back around. There are two of them, 401k employee savings plan. That's where we could go in, look at what you're saving, put in your own amounts. It's going to tell you what you have at a period that you select. So if you're saying, well, I'm going to invest for 20 years, 30, 40, 200 years, whatever you want to put in, the calculator's not going to mind, and it's going to give you an idea of what's going to happen at the end of that term. And you could put in what ifs. You can change the stuff around to suit your needs, and there's no, you don't have to log in, provide passwords, anything, jeffersonfinancial.org. The calculators are there and open to the public. So, you know, nobody's going to call, sales call, none of that's going to happen. Mm-hmm. But the other thing that I wanted to remind people, and that I got to give a shout out to Todd Murphy, a friend of many years. Mm-hmm. He, I'm sure he's listening this morning, but he and I talked after the broadcast last week. He's in money management, he's in wealth management. And it's, you know, he was sharing some, and I was remembering some of these. I held a broker's license some years ago for about 10 years. And it's interesting how people will approach their retirement or approach a 401k. And it's, Tommy, the first couple of questions that I've been asked a long time, okay, well, how much can I put in? Mm. All right, well, that's a valid, okay, well, okay, you could, anybody can Google this. You're going to get the same answer that I am. So it's publicly available information. And right for 2025, you could put in $23,500. Boy, I get a reaction on that immediately. There is no way I can save that much money. I'm just not at that point in life. I may never be at that point in life where I could pay almost $2,000 a month into my 401k. And it torpedoes the idea. And it, you know, you got to circle back with the person and say, wait a while. What are you talking about? That is the maximum. And just to, just in addition, if people are like you and I, Tommy, over 50, mm-hmm. you can put in another $7,500 for a total of $30,500. That's before your employer gets started. So people, I mean, I guess the law provides for generous balances. I mean, look at what IRAs are. I forgot about what they are, like $5,000. So 401k, the limits. 401k is orders of magnitude above that. If for people that, if they can, they can. But for those who can't reach those maximums, do what you can. And it's like, well, I can't believe that you can't save more, you know, $5. Get it started. And I guess when they hear about those maximums, it completely derails them from the idea. And they say, well, I might as well just put a couple of dollars in a savings account. Okay, why don't you put a couple of dollars in your 401k? We did this at Jefferson Financial, but during my tenure there, because it wasn't a very well participated plan, mm-hmm. and it was some of the things that I mentioned in this morning is why it wasn't participated. Maybe 60-70% of the employees. Now we got it up to about 97%. I'm glad to do it. I'm glad to see that people are doing that and approaching their retirement in a focused way. And you know, once they get started, they're glad they got started. But it's what we do when somebody onboards, meaning being hired, is, okay, think about your 401k we offer at the company, and we match 6%, which is a generous match point, 6% of their income. But they have to contribute, like most plans would say, okay, you contribute. If you contribute a maximum of 6%, the company will match it. You've just mm-hmm. doubled your money.
Right.
And it's you. And if well, I, okay, I'm starting out. I got things going on. I'm in between jobs. I'm put in a couple of dollars every payroll, $5, $10, and then what we will get you to is it's automatic escalation We'll get you up to the 1% within a year. We'll get you up to 2% next year. We'll get you up to 3% the following year, up to the 6% of your income. So if somebody's making $40,000, 1% is $400 divided over 26 pay periods. You're not even going to notice. But and once you leave that automatic escalation alone, you're increasing your contribution. And then in consequence, in my case and most other employers' case, the company is increasing their contribution because the employee is also. So you reach a point where, okay, and once you're at the 6%, maybe things have changed in your financial life. It's like, no, I could do more than that. Well, there you go. You could automatically go to HR, call HR and say, I want to contribute a little extra to my 401k. Another question. Well, okay, I get to this lofty goal of 6% of my salary. Something happens. Can I reduce that amount? Of course you can. You're not under any obligation to contribute to your company's 401k. I've seen people just under some financial circumstances, look, I've got to stop contributing for a while. A couple of years are going to pass and I'll get started again. Okay, just try to put that on your list of things to do a couple of years from now when things free up and get it started again. Because a clear way to torpedo the whole thing is that you put in for 4, 5, 6, 7 years, and that's excellent, and then you stop contributing. The money's still in there. It'll still earn interest. It'll be exposed to the investments that you've chosen, but that takes the wind out of a sail of a 401k program. That's really it's really dependent on you put in for many years and enjoy those benefits at the end. So that's one. To fail to get started. A couple other people, it's like, you know, I'm hearing so much about the market. The market is too risky. What the Fed is doing, I get all confused with that because that's not my bailiwick, and I just don't understand enough about it. Okay, if that's the thing and you just can't get there, it's like I can't go into the stock market. My brother was the same way. It's like I can't take the idea that tomorrow's balance in some of my investments is going to be less than today's balance. My head explodes. All right, put money in. You could put in a money market fund. Mm-hmm. But the key is two things, typical to a 401k plan. You put your money in a money market. It's going to earn a rate of interest. But your capital is preserved, that your capital is never going to go down from one day to the next, and it's just going to go up, just a question of how much, meaning what the rate of return is, and you're still going to get. Now, let's never lose sight of the fact that you might get 100% return from your employer. So you put in $1,000 this year, your employer matches at $1,000. 100% return risk-free is, I think, a good idea. So for those who are really uncomfortable with some marketable securities, I don't know what's in this 401k mutual fund. I'm really, you know, in the deep end of the pool. Well, you could ask HR and ask your 401k provider. They could walk you through it. It's their job. If at the end of that rainbow, it's still, look, I'm going to keep a hold of this money market fund for a while. At least you're contributing. You get the tax benefit and you get the 401k match. You're not going to get that with your typical bank account. You're going to pay tax on that money, after-tax money going in, and then you're not going to get any match except for the interest that you earn. So that's where, you know, the 401, I'm surprised this got through Congress whenever it got through, because it really is a very flexible, really beneficial employer-sponsored plan for their employees. So I was looking at some news that we're going to talk about it Monday, but the Fed is projecting a slower growth rate, maybe higher inflation. They might only be lowering interest rates one time this year. And all that bothers people, and for good reason. So those, however, are not the reasons to not contribute to your plan and to not get that started. So if you're looking at, last thing, and I'll shut up for a second. When you're looking at the calculator and saying, okay, if you're going to choose the money market account, keep in mind you're not going to get on average, you know, 7, 8, 9% a year going forward. You've got to throttle that back a little bit. And what if it's a 4 or 5%? It's going to show you what your balance is going to be in years to come. Mm-hmm. Then you use the savings distribution calculator to see what that will mean for you every month when you're living off of the money. The combination of those is worth a bar of gold, because you're seeing what this whole plan will look like today, not in 20 or 30 or 40 years, but you want to have an idea what that money's going to look like as soon as you can get a handle on it.
You not knowing is not the answer. You got to know, and you got to look at it and just confront it. Thank you, Mark. Very valuable information. Go to jeffersonfinancial.org. You can find the calculators. Again, not while you're driving, please. 754, 6 till 8, traffic now, WWO.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.